rentals at hotmail.com.
KRFP, Moscow.
That's right. You are listening to KRFP Moscow, and great to be with you here on a Wednesday as we get ready to transition into the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Today's guests are going to be a couple of broads. By that, I mean a couple of women that are with the group Great Old Broads for Wilderness. So we'll be looking forward to that interview shortly here. First, want to give you a weather report. Tonight, mostly cloudy with low around 50, winds out of the west between 6 and 9. Tomorrow, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 71, winds out of the east between 8 and 13 miles an hour, gusting as high as 18, chances of precip tomorrow is 30%. Thursday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with low around 52, winds out of the west on Thursday night between 6 and 10. Friday, TGIF, partly sunny with a high near 74. Winds will be calm between 6 and 9 miles an hour out of the west. Friday night, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 54. Winds Friday night coming out of the west around 8 miles an hour. The weekend, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 69. Chance of precip on Saturday, 70%. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with low around 44. Sunday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 63. Sunday night, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 42. And peaking at Monday, even though we're certainly in no rush, 40% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 63. So all in all, it's pretty nice temperatures. We're going to be in the 60s and maybe into the 70s a little bit. And then it looks like as we head towards the weekend, we might get some more precipitation. And as we like to say up in the office, at least you know that old childhood saying, April showers bring May flowers. Well, the more rain we get in May during the springtime here in the Palouse and in north central Idaho, the better it is for the forest in terms of a wildland fire season. If it's really dry and hot and windy during the spring, chances are that high pressure system will continue into the summertime, and that's when we will get larger wildland fires in Clearwater Country. And so the fact that we're getting some precipitation now and possibly over the next week or two bodes well if you want to see less smoke in the air. So nonetheless, we're going to take a short music break, and then when we get back, we're going to be joined by Ashley and Cindy with the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
One, two, three, four.
I would open up and
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Today's music is being brought by Songs for Utah Wilderness, Slick Rock and Sagebrush. And that was Tarantula Mesa by Julie Hill. And so nonetheless, I'd like to give a quick disclaimer here before we're joined, before I introduce our studio guests. The views expressed on the Wild Clearwater Country Show are those of the individuals speaking during the show and not necessarily those of KRFP Moscow or any other organizations. And on that note, I would like to welcome aboard Cindy Magnuson and Ashley Lipscomb with the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. How are the two of you doing today?
Doing great.
It's a beautiful day. Good.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a gorgeous day.
Yes,
it is a beautiful day out there. And Ashley and Cindy, both of you are co-leaders with the Palouse Broadband for the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. And I figured we'd start off today by if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. How did the group begin? And maybe tell us a little bit about the group's mission.
Well, the Great Old Broads for Wilderness have been about for over 23 or so years, I think 23.
Since 1989.
They came about when there was kind of a real scary episode up in the mountains, and two elder women were hiking along, and several people turned back, including some younger people and some men turned back, and these women decided that they could go on. And it was at that point that somebody said, boy, those are great old broads. And so that kind of started the mission of a group of women at that time, and they started meeting regularly, and they decided that they would start out with this nonprofit group.
Mm. Mm. Now, is this Cindy? Is this in Colorado? Where did the original broads?
I'm not sure. I really think it was in New Mexico or Arizona. The national organization is in Durango, Colorado. Mm. We have over 4,500 members nationally. Locally, Ashley and I lead a group called the Broad Band.
Yeah.
That means we all think very broadly and do lots of things.
Yes.
So our group, I don't know what the registration is right now. I think we have around 40.
About 40, yeah.
And
it's for the local Palouse Broadband chapter.
Well, Palouse is another broad term because we really stretch all the way down to the Salmon River. We go east to the Montana border.
Wow.
North to Canada.
Wow.
And we have several Spokane and Post Falls area members.
Okay, right. So a little bit of eastern Washington overlap there.
Yes.
So before we talk more about the local broadband chapter, and maybe Palouse isn't the right name for it, as you're alluding to, what is the mission of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness? You told us a little bit about how it was started. What's the mission of the Broads?
So we're a national organization that uses the voices and activism of elders to preserve and protect wilderness and wild places. So while some of our members may not be able to get out into the wilderness still, they still want to preserve and protect those places for future generations.
Great. And now, Cindy, you mentioned that the national office is in Durango.
Right.
Has the national office always been in Durango since 1989?
As far as I know, most of the original people passed through there anyway. I don't know.
Beautiful place to have an office, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Got a chance to spend some time in and around the Four Corners, the Durango area, and It's just a very special place.
It is.
To have 13,000-foot mountains, I believe it's the San Juans, San Juan National Forest and the San Juan Mountains right there in your backyard. And then if you drive a little bit further south, you kind of drop off the Colorado Plateau and down into some of that Four Corners area, big open, you know, deserts, slick rock canyons. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of the issues that the group works on, particularly at the national level. And the two of you may know a lot about each individual project here, or you might not. Before we got on the radio show, I looked at the website and I said, "Okay, what are some of the issues that the national group is working on?" And I saw a couple headings: wilderness, healthy lands project, livestock grazing, which on public lands, off-road vehicles on public lands, and recapture Utah. Did either one of you want to talk about some of those national issues, if you're familiar with them at all?
Well, I know a bit about the livestock grazing on public lands, and I think it's, personally, I think it's something that we all need to be addressing, not only for what, especially if it's near water. I get, you know, just driving down our 95 and watching, looking at all the grazing along the river there. And thinking about what that does, but also what it does to a lot of our native plants and the stomping of that. It's pretty amazing to walk. Our local hiking group was just doing this recently, where we were just hiking on a hill, and we crossed, and it was really beautiful, and there were wildflowers, and it was up around our ankles, and then we crossed over under a fence to a grazed area that was just chewed down to the nubs, you know, so I think that's a really, it's a really sad thing, and I think it's something we need to work on and preserve. We have a really neat publication called From Dung to Dust, and I think that's, it's really well written, and it's available for a buck.
Now, is this, how does, let's say, one of our listeners get from dung to dust? Do you have to go on the Great Old Broad's website and then order this publication, or is it for free to the public?
No, it is a dollar. And, but, you know, we have, Ashley and I have several copies, and if we were about, and we will be this summer in the farmer's market, we'll have that there. So that's another item they could, that's an item they could pick up there.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great.
That's one issue that I'm really familiar with.
How about the wilderness issue, Ashley? You're pointing. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to say, I was going to talk about the Broad's Healthy Lands Project that we have going on, and it's the Broad's monitoring program. And so basically, they equip a whole bunch of women with GPS systems that have a camera attached to it, and they're easy to use. And so we go out into these areas where maybe the Forest Service claims that they, you know, don't have the manpower or woman power to to monitor these areas. And we say, hey, we'll take that on. And we take our little systems out there and just, you know, document all of the degradation that we see from
I see. So you take GPS coordinates over a particular area. So what is your so what you're saying is that a group of Great Old Broads will go out onto a section of public lands, maybe where there's a grazing allotment. And so you guys will make observations of maybe some of the resource damage or the landscape damage that's occurring in that area. And then you're saying you'll take GPS coordinates of it?
Yep.
And kind of give it back to the Forest Service so that they can, you know, then get that information themselves?
Help the Forest Service out a little bit. And build a little bit of rapport with them so they'll, you know, be willing to listen to what we have to say when it comes to our public lands.
Right, and I think it can be even more simple than that. We've been in national parks or in national forest areas where there are designated campgrounds, and we've gone and surveyed those campgrounds with our GPS systems and camera systems, and documented are people truly camping in the campground? What is the respect shown there? Mm. Campgrounds that are way back, you know, are farther, deeper into the wilderness.
Yeah.
People cannot, are the people, the National Forest Rangers cannot get all the way back in there all the time to be monitoring it. So we would bring out that documentation.
Okay.
And present it to them.
Okay, so this project could take place inside a national park. It could take place out on lands that are managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or like Ashley said, it could be lands that are being managed by the U.S. Forest Service.
Sure.
Or state lands, too. We state do lands. Take on sure. state land sure. as public
right.
issues. Yeah.
Now, as I look at this, as I glance at this piece of paper here, off-road vehicles on public lands, from a national perspective, what is the stance of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness, let's say, on off-road vehicle use on public lands?
Well, I think only if in designated areas.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue that... Getting them to please stay where they are designated, where they need to be. We found a lot of damage that way from ORVs.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, maybe, you know, we were looking at that brochure there. Certainly a lot of off-road vehicle, you could say abuse, certainly mm-hmm. down in Utah.
It can be abuse.
You know,
Utah
down
is
in
big
Utah
time.
Is, right. I know there's a lot of...
right.
It's kind of like ground zero almost for
right.
Public lands damaged by off-road vehicles. Utah
right.
seems to be a place where it just has more of it. And I don't know why that is. I have a couple of theories, but so.
Well, in some areas, like in Moab, it's totally encouraged where yeah. you can rent these
yeah.
humongous Jeep type of vehicles to take off and go straight up a cliff. And what does that do to the sand and the soil and
all the cryptobiotic soils?
Such a fragile ecosystem down
right,
there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's so
fragile.
Dry. Mm-hmm. It's so dry. It
so
takes
dry.
Everything so much longer to actually reproduce, to recover.
Oh, thousands of years to replace what they yeah. tear up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so let's see here. Wilderness, Healthy Lands Project, livestock grazing on public lands, off-road vehicles on public lands. How about some of the local and regional issues? What is the Palouse Broadband focused on in 2012 and 2013? Maybe you just want to share a couple of the issues or campaigns that the local group here or regional group is working on right now.
Well, currently... These last 2 weeks,
yeah.
we've been working with Friends of the Palouse Ranger District in opposition to the land exchange up in the Lolo. And
that's the Upper Loxaw Land
Upper
Exchange?
Upper Loxaw Land Exchange.
Okay, okay.
Thank you, yes. And early on, about 3 years ago, when we first learned about this and they asked us to join with them, we were going to different communities to inform them, do you have any idea as to what lands you're going to be trading?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of awakening their, you know, their
yeah.
knowledge of
That's
the
right.
issue. So,
great.
And currently we're preparing a lot of their paperwork.
Yes, a lot of their paperwork.
Now, their paperwork being paperwork for the Friends of the Palouse Ranger District?
Right. Yes. Right.
I had a little birdie visit me the other day, and the birdie told me that a lot of this paperwork was generated through a Freedom of Information Act request. Is that what we're talking about right
That's
now?
Correct. Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And since we just mentioned it, let's share this with our listeners. What is a Freedom of Information Act? What's so special about it? What does it allow us to do?
It gives the public the right to, you know, go to their public officials and say, hey, I want to see some of these emails. I want to see some of these, you know, letters that you've written between other congressmen or women and really being transparent for the public and letting them know that
right.
these are the wheelings and dealings that have been going on.
Right.
And this is affecting our public lands. It's not just their public lands that they're, you know, making decisions for. It's our public lands. So we should know.
Now, I think I think all this came about through the Sunshine Act, or the, I think they're referred to as the Sunshine Laws. I could be a little wrong on that, but when you can file a public records request, a PRR, through the state. Mm-hmm. And then you can file a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act, which is at the federal level. And it's just that, a Freedom of Information Act or a public records request. When people say sunshine laws, it's like shining light on a subject. So in other words, giving it transparency, bringing it to the attention of the public. And certainly so when it's involving something like the Upper Loxaw Land Exchange, any Jane, Dick, or Harry can submit paperwork to the federal government, let's say to a couple of Forest Service officials, requesting information specifically about such and such between such and such a date.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then they have anywhere between 14 to 20 days, I believe, to respond, depending on the state versus federal. And nonetheless, that's very important. It's kind of similar to it's not a parallel to, but it's similar to almost our public land system. The Sunshine Laws, it kind of gives people a voice. Gives people an understanding, and allows us to be proactive on these issues.
Correct.
Yes.
So for those of you that are just joining us right now, you're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show here on KRFP Moscow, and we have two in-studio guests today, Cindy Magnuson and Ashley Lipscomb. Both are co-leaders with the Palouse Broadband of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness, and so it's a real treat to have them in here. What are some of the issues? Now, I've seen the Broads at Megalode rallies over the past year or two. What are some of the other public land issues or even transportation issues, speaking of Megalodes, that the Broads are working on outside of the land exchange?
Well, I think we're certainly trying to educate ourselves more about the Clearwater Basin Collaborative that kind of is turning out to be more unpopular in our eyes than the Forest Service certainly thinks it is, and it might actually tie into the Upper Loxaw Land Exchange as well. So educating ourselves about that is very important to us, and we're also have a campaign that's going on for WETIS as wilderness, where we'd like to take WETIS roadless area and designate it as wilderness for for future generations.
That is something certainly I want to talk about. We're going to talk about the broadband that's going on this summer here.
Broadwalk.
That's going to be taking place here in August. Now, maybe we'll jump to one more question and then we'll take a short break. Does that sound all right here?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're talking about some of the issues that the Great Old Broads are working on. How did the two of you become co-leaders with the Great Old Broads for Wilderness? what inspired you to get involved in the movement? Cindy, we'll start with you.
In the entire movement?
No, just Great Old Broads for Wilderness, getting involved with the group. What inspired you to get involved?
Well, I have been a member, I think, since 2002. And I was very interested in the issues. And one of the first broadwalks I went to was in the middle of the winter in Yellowstone. And that was working on the snowmobiles. And we've seen a lot of laws change there, a lot of regulations change. It was a very fascinating thing. We had probably 40 broads show up, and we were out there with... We were able to get a couple of senators there, and
Wyoming senators,
correct? And we had we made our posters, and we were there with our gas masks and all of that. And we have found that it was very, very effective. At the time, it was very, very frightening because of. You know, it was not a popular issue among snowmobilers.
That's right. And certainly this is the seesaw battle that has been taking place for a couple decades now.
Correct.
But with with more of a national spotlight over the past 10, 15 years with the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and whether or not we should be allowing the use of snowmobiles inside Yellowstone National Park, obviously during the winter season when wildlife is at its most stressed out level, you can say.
Correct.
And the environment is at its harshest. So how about you, Ashley? What inspired you to get involved with the Great Old Broads for Wilderness?
Well, you know, I was doing a little bit of volunteer work for Friends of the Clearwater, and that's how I met Cindy and became aware of Great Old Broads for Wilderness. And she actually approached me maybe about, maybe 8 months ago or something like that, and said, hey, would you like to be a co-leader and you know, take on some of these wildlands issues with us? And it's really turned into a great intergenerational partnership.
Oh,
Where, you know, I may not be an old broad yet, but I'm a broad in training that's working on her wrinkles. So it's really been, so far it's been a real pleasure to, learn about some of these issues and have a whole bunch of primarily women getting together and, telling others about our land ethic.
Mm, right. Mm. And the broads are not women exclusively. Mm. We're not old exclusively. So we welcome everyone, but we do feel that you do have to be great in order to join.
Yeah. I really like that approach. Greatness is a quality that we should all strive for at certain times in our life. But you guys answered my question. Do you have to be great? Do you have to be old? Do you have to be abroad to be a member of the group?
Aren't you a bro, Brett?
Well, I am a bro. I'm a great old bro.
That's correct.
And in fact, I have a coffee mug.
That's right.
In my cabinet. In fact, we have two coffee cups in our cabinet. But that's really neat. So for those of you that are listening, the Great Old Broads for Wilderness is not about it's not about just a group of older women that are trying to make differences in our public land system. But you can be a young man. You could be a young woman, middle-aged man. Mm-hmm. So there's no all kinds welcome, so to speak.
Right.
Well, that's pretty neat there. Ashley, did you have something else to say, or you want to take a short music break here?
Let's get straight to the female musicians.
All right. Well, I hear that loud and clear. Let's see here. We have some more Slick Rock and Sagebrush songs for Utah Wilderness. And let's see here. Let's try Use It All. This is by Sally Shuffield. Just going to cue this up here. There we go. Use It All by Sally Shuffield. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show on KRFP Moscow. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back.
How could we have ever doubted that the world would be a little crowded? A small price to pay to ensure the American way. It could be a national crisis if some land's unsubdivided. We all love urban sprawl, so we gotta use it all. Use it all, use it all. Fill it up with McDonald's and strip malls. We're going out in style. We're all gonna take the fall. Won't remember what we've lost if we use it all. Now who in the hell needs wilderness? We have fenced in ranches and the agribiz. We should save some trails and trees for the ORVs. Destruction is exciting. Too much space is a little frightening. We can hear that dollar call, so we gotta use it all. Use it all, use it all. Fill it up with McDonald's and strip malls. We're going out in style, we're all gonna take the fall. Won't remember what we've lost if we use it all. build our buildings higher, 'cause we can still see a little sky there. And those annoying birds of prey keep getting in the airline's way. Homo sapiens are thinking, let's hear it from mass extinction. Make Mother Nature crawl, 'cause we're gonna use it all. Use it all, use it all. Fill it up with McDonald's and strip malls. We're going out in style, we're all gonna take the fall. Won't remember what we've lost if we use it all. Use it all, use it all. Fill it up with McDonald's and strip malls. We're going out in style, we're all gonna take the fall. Won't remember what we've lost if we use it all. Won't remember what we've lost if we use it all.
And welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. So nice to be with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. We have two guests in the studio, Ashley Lipscomb and Cindy Magnuson with the Plus Broadband of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. And how you guys hanging in there?
Okay.
Doing great.
Being on radio ain't too bad, is it?
It's not too hard.
A little scary.
Yeah, it is. It's always a little intimidating at first. You know, the walls kind of, you know, kind of start moving in on you a little bit. But the studio here in KRFP Moscow is actually pretty nice. And so thank you again for coming down and being a guest here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Let's pick up where we left off. We were talking about the boot camp. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Great Old Broads boot camp? And Ashley, I believe you had a recent experience, but Cindy, you can go first. Doesn't matter to me. What is Great Old Broads boot camp about?
Well, it's the one term that we have that does not start with the word broad. I think I went to the very first boot camp, and it was held in Albuquerque. And I was so excited to see the city and didn't see much of it because we worked for five days, 8 hours a day, learning all that we needed to know to be a leader of a local broadband, which is what we have organized here. And so it was a really good time. And broads always have really good food. But it is. It's hard work, and it's all volunteer. Ashley and I are both volunteers to do this. And so then you get your list of people that may be in the area, and you start trying to pull them together. And it wasn't too hard right here in Moscow because I knew the core group. There's about six of us that... have all been Great Old Broads for quite a long time. But expanding it, you know, takes a lot of effort beyond that. And then I have been calling the people up north of Moscow, the Northern Broadband, and we've been working with them, trying to get them interested in maybe joining together a little bit on some issues, and hopefully they'll join us on the broadwalk.
Now, Ashley, you recently had a boot camp experience with the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. What was a day in the life like for you down in Durango, Colorado?
Well, we were just outside of Cortez, Colorado for about 5 days. And I think when I showed up, some of the ladies were like, "What is she doing here?"
Oh.
She must have taken a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But when we got settled in, I was able to room with a great lady from Boise, and we spent a good portion of 5 days just talking about all the issues that we can become involved in, how to, you know, get media to come and you know, see what the broads are doing, talking about, let's see, anything from like road ripping to off-road vehicle use to, you know, some of the collaborations that have been happening. You know, in Utah with grazing. I mean, it's just, it was really interesting to see all of the issues that all of these different broadbands are dealing with, and how they're working with the Forest Service or BLM and how they're creating relationships with them.
So a boot camp is a crash course not only on the issues that the broads are working on, but also equipping you with a skill set on how to start up and or run your a local broadband chapter.
It's like grassroots organization on steroids.
Right. That's their hope.
Although we weren't on steroids.
I mean, the two of you are pretty buff, you know, but I wouldn't accuse you of taking steroids or anything. So that's pretty neat. So there you go. All right. Well, that's a little bit about the Broads Boot Camp. Is there anything else that the folks should know about Broads Boot Camp? Or do you have to go through boot camp to become a broadband leader? I guess the
yes,
answer is...
Yes, I believe that you do.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, because then you're connected up with all of the internet systems that we have with Durango. I think... So I think we could not... I mean, I don't know how you would do that otherwise.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you just can't come off the street and expect to be plugged
right.
into the system.
Right.
You have to go through a training period.
Right.
And
yeah.
So that makes perfect sense. Have a little Broads boot camp.
Right.
Shifting gears a little bit here. Friends of the Clearwater is going to be co-sponsoring a Broadwalk this summer. The name of it is Wheatus Wilderness Broadwalk. It's from August 2nd to August 6th. But before we jump into the details of this four-day wildland extravaganza, what is a broadwalk?
A broadwalk is when mostly women, but we have a lot of brothers that come with us, gather to promote a particular area, generally into wilderness. We will always have speakers come and talk about the area, talk about the issues. We'll be showing maps. We'll have a lot of information about Wheatus and why it needs to be a wilderness. Other broadwalks have been, oh golly, one time, and then there's always a service project. I should finish out what goes on at a broadwalk. There will be a service project. There's a lot of campfires, a lot of food, a lot of
happy hour.
A lot of happy hours. We have a really good time.
Wow. Great old broads for boozing.
We really do enjoy ourselves, and we'll do a lot of hiking, whatever is available. If there's water nearby, we're swimming. Whatever. Some of the broadwalks I've been on, I mentioned the Yellowstone one, but another one that was really, really fun was down in Fossil, Oregon area.
Okay.
And what we were doing was helping an area to convert to wilderness. And we spent a day, I guess it was only a day, it seems like a long time, pulling out barbed wire, pulling down a barbed wire fence. Here was my question I always wanted to know. So when the deer and the elk come back to that area, do they run up to where the fence was and stop to leap over, or do they run right through and forget it?
I'm hoping for the latter.
Yeah.
I hope they have a little short-term memory there. And just run free like they have for generations and, you know, thousands of
right.
years.
Anyway, that was a fun broadwalk. But our broadwalk in Wheatus is shall we go into that now?
Well, I just wanted to clarify what a broadwalk is. So a broadwalk is an event in which the Great Old Broads for Wilderness invest energy, resources into to generate awareness or bring greater attention to a roadless area. Did you say that qualifies for
yes.
wilderness?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Generally, that's the situation.
Okay. And so can a broadwalk...
Or wild lands.
Or wild lands. Can a broadwalk occur anywhere around the country, or how does a site get chosen?
Yes. And thank goodness for the Friends of the Clearwater and Brett Haverstack.
Oh, what a
for,
great...
for writing such a beautiful letter and backing us up in begging the National to be here for several years now.
Yeah.
I think since I became a broadband leader, Gary McFarland said, this is the issue we want to work on together.
Yeah.
So anyway, and then the... Broadwalk will include members from all over the nation.
Wow.
And that's what is so exciting.
That's exciting.
I was looking at our registration today. They're coming from North Carolina, New Mexico, Arizona, Washington, Oregon. Yeah, so it's getting really exciting.
That
and it's just exciting. Really fun to all get together and have common cause and common thoughts. To be with other women especially, but we love our brothers there too. Yeah, like-minded people. It's really a wonderful experience.
So a Broadwalk is open to any broad members from around the country. You do not... So the Wheatus Wilderness Broadwalk is taking place here on U.S. Route 12 on the Wilderness Gateway Campground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not restricted to broads just living in Idaho.
No.
You can be a broad in North Carolina.
She's coming.
And come on out.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
So maybe...
And you do not have to be a member. If you've heard about it or seen our newsletter, of course, if you are a member, you get a reduced rate. And we really appreciate your membership. Mm. But if you're not a member, you're welcome to come as well.
Mm. Now, how about... Okay, so now maybe we'll segue into the logistics of this four-day event. Correct me if I'm wrong. The event is from August 2nd to August 6th.
That's correct.
At the Wilderness Gateway Campground.
Yes.
And camping reservations have already been made.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brett.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, I've been a part of this process, so I know some of this information.
He's been a pig leader.
The food. Okay, so camping is taking place at Wilderness Gateway Campground.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the food. Who's going to feed the people over these 4 days?
Well, that was a fun thing to find someone that would be interested in going up and being with us. We have a person, Stephanie, from a guide service who has done this for many years, and she's going to come up. She'll be there Thursday night, will be our first meal. Mm. And she...
Stephanie's from Orofino, is
Orofino.
She not?
Orofino.
That's
yeah.
great.
Right.
That's great. So we have a local chef slash outfitter that's going to be feeding everyone.
Right. And she will be serving... During those days, she will serve breakfasts and dinners. The broads will be responsible for bringing their own lunches. And, of course, I have to bring a bunch of snacks.
Mm.
And anything that you want to enjoy during your happy hour.
Okay, BYO.
That's right.
It's a BYO
That's
affair.
Right. There will probably be some there also provided.
And now your registration fee covers your food costs along with your camping costs. Is that
correct,
right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all covered.
And now there's a separate lodging option. Is there not if you
if
you don't want to camp at the Wilderness Gateway Campground? What's that about, Cindy?
Right. We have several members that love to be great old broads for wilderness, but love to stay in a cabin. They don't care for the camping part. So they will be staying at Three Rivers, and if our listeners are interested in this experience, when they are registering or contacting us, Ashley or myself, so we can get details to them, then I will put them in contact with the person who is making cabin reservations.
Okay. Okay, what else is going on with so it's the 2012 Wheatus Wilderness Broadwalk, August 2nd to the 6th, which is a Thursday through Monday, Wilderness Gateway Campground off of U.S. Highway 12. Camping, the reservations are already made. The food is being prepared by a local outfitter out of Orofino. We talked about a service project. You mentioned that. What is the service project? project about? Does every broadwalk have a service project?
Oh, yes. That's one of our main points. You'll go on a broadwalk and then Chuck. Ashley hasn't been on a broadwalk yet, so that's why I'm kind of hogging.
I don't know what I'm in for, really.
I'm hogging the microphone. That's one of our emphases is whenever we go to a wildland wilderness area, that's the community spirit of these women and
yes.
brothers, if they're there.
Yeah, that's right. Broads and bros. Yeah.
We are not certain as to what this service project will be yet. We're still making contact with that. But we have done things like build trail, like I said, tear down fences. Right now I'm trying to think.
Anything with invasive species at all?
Oh, yes, we have. Thank you for reminding me. Up in the Yak in Montana, and those Yak leaders are coming broadwalk. I'm so excited. We pulled all kinds of hawkweed we made mountains of hawkweed.
Oh, my gosh.
Pulling it around a lake that was there. So, all those kinds of things.
So, the service project is a key component of the broadwalk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, and that will be happening on Friday, I assume.
Okay. Now, how about in terms of the roadless area? I'm sure... What in the broadwalk? What do you do to promote the roadless area that you're spending 4 days kind of talking about? Do you go visit the roadless area?
Well,
do you,
number one, we want to see it, and we'll be up in the Wheatus area. We'll take a big long drive in, and up to the 12-mile saddle, probably.
Yeah, I think up to the Lolo Motorway. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We'll be hiking out of there. We'll be exploring in the Wheatus area. It'll be, you know, and then people just automatically, it just comes to you. I mean, you recognize why this area needs to be preserved. It's heart and mind the minute you see these areas. So then we'll also be up in that area. We're going to be doing some looking at Lewis and Clark. We'll have a leader.
I think Lynn Lahey's joining the group, isn't he?
Lynn Lahey, who is a super expert on Lewis and Clark, will be leading that area in that area as well. He pretty much will be leading the hikes that day. I believe that's on Saturday. That'll be really exciting to see some of the areas where Lewis and Clark stopped and camped and all those types of things. But the main focus while we're up there is all behind where Lewis and Clark were is the Wheatus Wilderness area. And we need to get it protected.
Now, for those people that are just tuning in right now or listening, we're joined by Ashley Lipscomb and Sydney Magnuson with the Palouse Broadbands of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. Right now, we're talking about a broadwalk, which is co-sponsored by the National Group of Great Old Broads for Wilderness, along with Friends of the Clearwater. This year's event will be at Wilderness Gateway Campground on Highway 12 from August 2nd to August 6th, and the Wheatus Creek Roadless Area is just over 250,000 acres large and is considered by many people to be the heart of wild Clearwater country. And that has a lot to do with the habitat that it provides. It's very rare to get a broad, low elevation, broad river valley that's still intact. That's not 30,000 acres large, but is a quarter of a million acres large. And when you look on a map, when you look at the Kelly Creek Roadless Area and the Pot Mountain Roadless Area, and then the Mallard Larkins Roadless Area, and then you look where Wheatus is, and then you look a little bit further south, and you kind of see Fish and Hungry and Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. You kind of see just the proximity, the location of Wheatus's wilderness or the Wheatus Roadless Area. But also the more you read up on it, the more you realize whether it's from an elk calving grounds, whether it's habitat for species like grizzly bears or gray wolves, It offers a lot of abundant habitat also for West Slope cutthroat trout, bull trout. So a lot of native species, some of them are imperiled. And so Wheatus Creek, if there's one area that should be designated wilderness in the North Fork of the Clearwater, certainly Wheatus is the place. And so this is really exciting to have this four-day wildland extravaganza. What else should folks know about the Broadwalk? How else can they learn more about the Wheatus Wilderness Broadwalk?
Well, if they know Ashley or I, we have newsletters and brochures, and we'll also be passing those out and having them available this summer, we hope. And then you can go to greatoldbroadsforwilderness.org.
Okay.
And click
now
on...
No, that's your
that's the national.
Okay.
But it lists our Broadwalk in there.
Mm. And that's where you can sign up, register, get more information.
Yep.
Now, what if Joe Schmo wants to come for a day? Can he or she come for a day?
They are working that out. Yes. That will be available.
Okay. So that price
there still will be a cost, but it will be available.
Okay.
Because especially for people who, you know, have to drive all the way to Wilderness Gateway. It's a long distance from Moscow.
It is a very long drive.
But that's why you should stay with us.
Yeah, even more reason to have a happy hour and to stick around.
That's right.
Let's see here. I wanted to, I got two more questions for you here. Anything else about the Broadwalk? I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and I think Sunday is going to work out that we will have a speaker from the NIMIPU.
Great.
Right,
great.
And I think they will have breakfast with us, and that might be our recreation and leisure day, so it may be hot springs or finding somewhere to swim or hike. We'll have several hikes available besides hiking the day before.
So we have interpretive programming, we have a service project, we have a lot of recreation, we have accommodations either at Three Rivers Resort or Wilderness Gateway Campground, we have food being provided by a local outfitter out of Orofino. And it's all about bringing greater protection to places like the Wheatus Creek Roadless area.
That's right.
Getting to know each other and having fun.
Mainly having fun.
So, hey.
We promote the Wheatus Wilderness.
That's right. You got to have fun when you're doing something.
That's right.
It just makes it that much more successful and memorable.
Right.
Now, I have almost a genie in the bottle question for each of you. If there was one thing you could do for public lands, what would it be? We'll start with you, Ashley.
If I could do one thing for public lands today, I would stop the Sportsman's Heritage Act.
Wow, that is a great wish. Can we please get a genie in the room? Cindy, if there's one thing you can do for public lands, what would it be?
Well, I would go with Ashley on that one, but I would definitely make everything a roadless area, wilderness area. I would keep especially ORVs out.
There is, I think, somewhere between 3-4% of the entire United States is designated wilderness and protected in the National Wilderness Preservation System. 4%. It's just mind-boggling, you know? So I agree with you, Cindy. We need to protect the remaining 58 to 60 million acres of roadless landscapes that we have in this country so we can have 6%.
That's right.
Of our heritage.
And Idaho is very, very fortunate.
Incredibly fortunate.
That's right.
Now, we are winding down here. How can folks learn more about the Great Old Broads for Wilderness? And more specifically, how can our listeners get involved with the local chapter?
Well, if you have a pencil, you can write down my email. It is cmcindyidaho@gmail.com. And I will send information to you through the mail or over the internet. And the other way is, you said local. So that would be local, right?
Yes, yes, there you go.
And the national, if the national is, you can just...
You should contact membership and say, hey, I want to get involved with, you know, the Palouse Broadbands. Can you put me in contact
sure.
with the leaders?
Membership, greatoldbroadsforwilderness.org.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Greatoldbroadsforwilderness.org.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's the main one.
Well, I want to thank the two of you for coming into the studio today and taking an hour out of your schedule. Again, Cindy Magnuson, Ashley Lipscomb, co-leaders for the Palouse Broadband of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Wild Clearwater Country Show.
And thanks for all you do for the wild.
That's right, Brett, and thank you.
Well, you're very welcome and certainly very excited about the Wheatus Wilderness Broadwalk. And I think later in the summer, we're going to try and maybe have someone out of the Durango office to be a call-in guest, and we'll talk more about the Broadwalk. So
great.
You all have a nice night.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You too.
All right. Well, there you go. It's always nice to have guests in the studio, and it's always good to have a couple of good-looking broads in the studio. If you know what I mean. All right. Well, we're going to get the boot here. So let's give a weather report. Tonight, mostly cloudy with low around 50. Winds out of the west between 6 and 9. Tomorrow, chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a high near 71. Winds out of the east between 8 and 13. Gusting as high as 18. Chance of precip tomorrow is 30%. Thursday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with low around 52. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 74. Friday night, 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 54. Saturday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 69. Chance of precip on Saturday, 70%. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 44. And peaking at Sunday, 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 63. Thank you all very much for listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. This is KRFP Moscow.
KRFP thanks its donors and underwriters, including
Mikey's Gyros, specializing in Greek and Middle Eastern cuisine such as gyros, falafel, hummus, tabbouleh, and spanakopita, located at 527 South Main Street in Moscow.
You are listening to KRFP Moscow.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Sahir Francis of the Adamar Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association based in the West Bank, who talks about what was won by Palestinian hunger strikers in their campaign to improve conditions inside Israeli prisons. Andrew Gavin Marshall, an independent researcher and writer based in Montreal, who discusses the massive student strike across Canada's Quebec province and its connections with anti-austerity movements worldwide. And Richard Kirsch, formerly with the group Healthcare for America Now, who assesses how the Supreme Court's decision on